the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. Happy rainy Tuesday. Right. It is March 28th. We're so happy you're tuning your heart to the truth on Catholic Community Radio. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido and happy to be here with Denise Beyer. Good morning, Denise. Nice to be here. Great having you here. Today is the feast of Saint Catherine of Bologna. So we'll start this morning with prayer.
Okay. Well, let's begin. And first, let's offer our prayers and whatever sacrifices and little things we can do today for the families in Nashville, Tennessee, that went through such a horrific trauma yesterday and lost children and moms and just family members. Mm-hmm. So Jesus, you told us, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. So Lord, lift them up, draw them into yourself and comfort your people. You have saved us from death by your death, O Lord, and you raised us to life by your rising. Deepen your people's communion with you in life and death through our observance of Lent with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit. We pray. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Catherine, pray for us.
Pray for us.
We have a wonderful show for you today. We'll share with you some Lenten missions that are happening tonight, so it's not too late to attend a Lenten mission. We have a whole bunch of them for you in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. We'll also visit with Father Basil Cole. He's talking about his book, Angelic Virtues and Demonic Vices, Aquinas's Practical Principles for Reaching Heaven and Avoiding Hell. We're all striving for heaven, right,
that's
Denise?
That's right.
So, Monsignor...
Practical, too.
That's right. Monsignor Jamie Gigantiello joins us from Brooklyn. He's talking to us about his new book called Breaking Bread with Monsignor Jamie, From Feeding the Stomach to Feeding the Soul. Y'all, this is my kind of thing. It's a cookbook. So it'll be fun to visit with Monsignor Jamie. And then, you know, our last guest from EWTN's Open Line Thursdays. You hear him here on Catholic Community Radio at 2 p.m. every day. Father Brian Milady joins us to talk about his book, A Primer on Fundamental Moral Theology. Always a great conversation with Father Brian. I love listening to him on Open Line, so it'll be great to have him on the show this morning. Well, if you haven't been outside, you've probably heard the rumble. There are showers and thunderstorms, mainly this morning before 1 p.m. in Louisiana and Mississippi. You're going to have that a little bit into the afternoon. They're saying it should end about 4 p.m. Some of the storms can produce heavy rainfall. There is a little patchy fog before noon. The high near 76 in most of our listening area. So after this afternoon, you'll have a light to variable wind coming from the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tonight, cloudy and cooler. Lows will fall into the upper 40s and lower 50s. Wow. Temperatures in the area in Baton Rouge, 69 degrees. New Orleans is our warm spot, 72. Ponchatoula, Louisiana, 67 degrees. And in Mississippi, past Christiana has 70 degrees now. And Biloxi, 68 degrees. So you may want to leave home a little early this morning. It is a little heavy. It was okay rain when I came in, then the monsoon hit, so it's a little blinding. So do use caution as you travel into work and school today. So stick around. We're coming back with today's gospel and reflection. It's 5 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
Thank you. Good Tuesday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is a continuation of John chapter 8. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I am going away, and you will look for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "He is not going to kill himself, is he? Because he said, 'Where I am going, you cannot come.'" He said to them, "You belong to what is below. I belong to what is above. You belong to this world, but I do not belong to this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "What I told you from the beginning. I have much to say about you in condemnation, but the one who sent me is true, and what I have heard from him I tell the world." They did not realize that he was speaking to them of the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am, and that I do nothing on my own, but I say only what the Father taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what is pleasing to him." Because he spoke this way, many came to believe in him. We've heard the gospel, and so now we reflect.
In today's gospel, Jesus continues to reveal his unique relationship with the Father. He declares his divine identity by using the expression, "I am," the sacred name God revealed to Moses at the burning bush, along with the statement, "You belong to what is below. I belong to what is above." At the same time, Jesus also declared the deliverance from sin and death that his cross and resurrection will accomplish. "For if you do not believe that I am," that is, reject the gift of faith, "you will die in your sins." Sacred Scripture affirms a deep connection between sin and death. God warns Adam that if he deliberately ate of the forbidden tree, he would literally die. St. Paul affirmed that it was through Adam that sin entered the world, and through sin, death. Conversely, our salvation comes from accepting Jesus and living according to his standards. Our redemption comes when you lift up the Son of Man, the stupendous event that will occur on Good Friday. The verb "lifted up" has a twofold meaning. In a literal sense, Jesus will be physically lifted up from the ground after he is nailed to the cross. But spiritually, Jesus will at the same time be exalted, for it is on the cross that Jesus' radical, glorious, self-giving love shines forth most radically. The Pharisees misunderstood Jesus. They enormously think he is going to kill himself. Why the confusion? Jesus is speaking about realities that are essentially spiritual and supernatural, but they are thinking on a mere human level, relying on their own limited capabilities, while thinking of themselves, believe it or not, as the saints of Israel. Finally, Jesus describes his close relationship with the Father in terms of obedience. In other words, Jesus' surrender to the Father is at the center of their abiding union. It is not because he is obedient that the Father is always with Jesus. Rather, the intimacy is the reason for Jesus' obedience. This gives us a hint to why our obedience is so important in our relationship with God. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for this morning's Gospel and Gospel Reflection. I'm Alicia Quibido with Denise Beyer this morning. We wanted to share a few events, and now I know you've heard about it, but now's the time to make your reservation for Advent at Sea 2023. That is a four-night Western Caribbean cruise with none other than Father Chris Decker. That's December 7th through the 11th of this year. At least from New Orleans, there's one stop in Cozumel, Mexico. Father Chris will be available for confessions, and he will celebrate Mass daily aboard Carnival's Valor. You can find out more information information at ccmedia.live, but we hope you'll join us on that Advent cruise. So it's not too late to, there you go. Thanks, yeah. Jeff. Wait, the boat's leaving.
Don't let the ship leave.
That's right. Wait for us. So it's not too late in our Lenten journey. We talked about that yesterday. We're still in the desert. If you kind of left the desert, it's not too late to jump back in and really prepare your heart for Lent, or for Easter. Lenten missions are happening. I'm going to share a few that are happening in the Archdiocese of New Orleans tonight. You can find all of this information at ccmedia.live, so you don't have to worry about writing anything down. Our Lady of Perpetual Help Lenten mission is happening tonight. That is in Kenner at 6:30. Father Edwards is talking about the hidden power of fasting. Not too late to fast, no. Too. St. Peter's Parish in Covington, also at 6:30. It started last night, but you can still go tonight and tomorrow night. So that's St. Peter's at 6:30. Our Lady of the Rosary in New Orleans at 7 p.m. Now, we visited with James Rosenblum about this. This is being hosted by St. Louis the Ninth Arts Society. They're presenting Prepare the Way of the Lord. It is a parish mission and chamber concert. It will be wonderful. So that's 7 p.m. at Our Lady of the Rosary in New Orleans. Also at St. Mary Magdalene Church in Metairie at 7 o'clock tonight is The Week That Saved the World.
Wow, I love that title.
Isn't that nice? This is with Father Niall Gross. Again, that's St. Mary Magdalene Church in Metairie, Louisiana. So the week that saved the world, what a wonderful way to look at Holy Week. So so it isn't too late to do wonderful things for Lent if Lent has gotten away from you. Mine has been so busy, Denise. I just feel like I wanted to slow down more. I think I say that during Advent too, but just been pulled in a million directions.
Mm-hmm. I make my plans a lot of times of what I'm going to do, and then Lord comes in, and I hope it's the Lord adjusts them. But or you could say life comes in, and then you're trying to adapt. Like you said, it's not too late.
It's never too late. No. It's never too late. So check out those Lenten missions, and there are more. If you go to ccmedia.live, click on events, and you can check out events. It's also a great place for you to submit your event. If you're having something happening at your parish, let us know, and we'll talk about it on Wake Up. So again, that's ccmedia.live. Click on events, and you can find out about these parish missions and so much more. Well, it is 15 minutes after the hour. You're going to want to stick around because up next is Father Basil Cole talking about his book, Angelic Virtues and Demonic Vices. You're going to want to hear this. 15 minutes past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 28th. Today we celebrate Saint Catherine of Bologna. Artists find a patron in today's saint, a woman who served the Lord in obscurity as a member of a semi-monastic religious community. Catherine was born in Bologna, Italy, in 1413. Well off and well educated, she developed a special interest and talent in painting. Years later, as a nun, Catherine spent time doing manuscript illustrations and painting miniatures. At the age of 17, she joined a group of religious women. Several years later, the group became part of the Poor Clares. As a young sister, she worked as convent baker and portress. Later, she served as novice mistress and finally as abbess. Whatever her role and responsibilities, Catherine had a reputation for holiness and many spiritual gifts. Wherever she lived, she drew young women to join her in the Poor Clare life. In addition to her major work, Treatise on the Seven Spiritual Weapons Necessary for Spiritual Warfare, Catherine is credited with writing 12 poems, 11 other brief treatises, and 2 letters. Her writings are thought to have played an important role in the understanding of the late medieval vernacular. Catherine died in 1463 and was canonized in 1712. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Wake Up on Tuesday morning, March the 28th, and it's 7:18, and I'm Denise Beyer here with Alicia Cole. And we are so blessed today to have with us Father Baso Cole, and he's going to talk to us about his book, Angelic Virtues and Demonic Vices, Aquinas' Practical Principles for Reaching Heaven and Avoiding Hell. Good morning, Father. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Good morning.
It is so good to have you with us. Father, there's a lot in this title when I read it, and I was thinking about it, and I really liked the part about angelic virtues and reaching heaven, you know, but it made me think, Father, that when I talk with a lot of people today, they don't really believe that there's a hell, or they say, well, you know, God is love, and he loves me, and he wants me to be happy, and this behavior makes me happy. And they don't see those bad behaviors as vices or sins, or worse yet, leading them down a path to hell. So you want to tell us a little bit about your book and unpack your book? Because it seems like you're zoning in on some of these topics for us.
Sure. Well, there's true happiness and false happiness.
Amen.
And that's part of the problem. People, yes, God wants us to be happy, all right, but he wants us to be happy on his terms, as he's the creator, and has implanted in us certain fundamental inclinations that if we follow his lights in accomplishing those fundamental inclinations, then we have a certain amount of happiness in this life. Not complete. But if we don't, we still may not have complete misery either in this life. But this life is short compared to eternity. And so it's possible for us to throw away true happiness, and then for the rest of our eternity to be not have false happiness, but to have misery forever. That's the scenario. We have a choice of trying to live in such a way that we will be able to enjoy the depths of happiness forever and ever. And the opposite, of course, is to not enjoy anything, but to be miserable forever. Our choice. We can say yes to God, and we can say no to God.
Well, that's so true, that choice. And I think that's a key word, that we have a choice. But what is St. Thomas, what are the things that he kind of gives us to guide us into making those right choices that you unpack in your book? Because sometimes people think their choices, well, they're making me feel good. They don't see them as bad at the moment, but it's still in that choice and to grow in that virtue. Can you share some of St. Thomas's
wisdom? Well, if you want to look at it carefully, God gives us all kinds of helps, especially through the sacraments. But if there are no sacraments around, he can still give us help when we make acts of praying. Because when we pray for the graces to be able to do his will, those are the things he wants to answer immediately. He wants to give us what we call in Catholic theology assisting graces to do the best that we can. Those are also called actual graces, so that we're not left completely by our own will, because our wills are already kind of wounded. But he has certain graces that he gives us through the sacraments called healing graces. But again, spiritual healing graces, not necessarily physical ones. So it comes down to how we pray, do we pray, and we don't have to be mystics to pray. We can just be our plain old selves and talk to him from time to time. But quite often people don't talk to God, and they don't listen to him either, and so that begins the problem.
Yes, it does. Well, you mentioned in your book that St. Thomas has some practical principles, and I was intrigued with that, because for me, I love to read about the saints. I just, that especially in the beginning of my conversion, that was just a place that I hungered, because I saw people that I could identify with in some way that had made their life turn around and had a passion and a hunger and a desire for more of God, and it was filling me up. But I have to admit that St. Thomas Aquinas was not one that I tried, and that's the thing. I didn't try to get into it. I always thought of him because of probably that work that he did, this Summa, that, oh, that's too over my head, you know, I don't know if I can get into it. So Father, I really was intrigued when you have in your book Practical Principles, and that I read that you talk about the various vices and their 40 plus daughters, and I didn't like daughters. What do you, can you share some insight on that and kind of give us a little taste so we...
Sure, of course. You see, these are the easy parts of Aquinas.
Okay.
I had a hard time reading Thomas Aquinas when I was a student. It took me years to appreciate the more difficult sections. These are the easier ones, in my humble opinion, because it has to do with the capital vices. Okay. And each vice is a lieutenant of the queen, pride, and the property of the immediate property of pride that's immediately related to pride is vainglory. They kind of coalesce. That's why the church just says pride, and it includes vainglory. Now, each capital vice, looked upon as St. Thomas has organized them, gives birth to daughters of the vice, other daughters of vices or sins, and he marks them out carefully so that you can understand how one particular general vice is related. So, for example, with regard to the vice of avarice, well, he shows how that can easily, if you have an excessive desire for material things, then you probably will start to defraud people, or you start to rob people, or you start to steal, or you start to do other things. And then he analyzes all those sins as well, you see. And that's kind of what's involved, so that each vice has its own particular daughters that could birth from within the vice, but they also cross-pollinate, too. Mm-hmm. Quite often, several vices work together.
Yeah.
Just as the virtue should all work together, but so some vices influence other vices, and it gets really messy, but you'd have to read the book to see why.
Yeah, well, that's it. And I guess he does the same thing, and you bring that out. I'm asking when I say I guess, with the virtues, do they have daughters too? Because I'm thinking as you're talking about these vices, wow, what a help that would be in going to confession.
Absolutely.
Because most of the time, we don't know how to unpack a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just gave
a
perfect
path.
I know,
path. I know, right.
Yeah. So are the...
Yep. Remember, there are seven sacraments, seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there are seven, we will call them virtues, that are moral virtues, three infused immediately, faith, hope, and charity, and then prudence, temperance, fortitude, and justice. And so the vices, they attack all of these things. And so if we learn what they are, then we're able to carry on this, shall we say, this battle, battle with our enemies that exist from within.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's great. Well, I want to encourage everyone out there to go look up your book. And would you tell us, Father, again, the name of the book in full and how people can go about getting it?
Yes. Oh, yeah, well, you can get it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. You can get it at your Catholic bookstores, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And it's called Angelic Virtues and Diabolical Vices. It's not about angels and demons.
Yeah.
We use that title to kind of indicate that, you know, if you want to become a friend of your angels more and more, then do the virtues. If you want to become a friend of the evil one, then do the vices.
Yes.
Because they know how to capture it. And then also, it's according to the lights of St. Thomas Aquinas. And then I try to show his simple ideas that anybody can understand. It's not rocket science.
Yes.
I'm not a giant genius. I'm just an ordinary priest. But I've been teaching this stuff for years and years and years.
Well, you just made it for me, and I hope for all of our listeners out there, something that would really, well, that I'd want to read, and taken away that fear that I couldn't read St. Thomas Aquinas.
That's what I was thinking, the same thing.
Yes, and maybe get something of value out of it. So.
Yep. Yeah, then maybe after you read this, you might want to read the harder parts. The Trinity and the Christ and Mary and other things. Those are tough. Those are tough. Yes. Anyway, but these are not tough.
Well, yes. Let the Holy Spirit guide us because, you know, he can infuse it in, right?
That's right. That's right. A last bit of reading.
Oh, yeah. That's rare.
That's rare. Yeah. Well, this is if you want a quick read, right?
He gives us ordinary graces yes. to understand, not Amen. Extraordinary.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Okay, Father, and you can also go to Tan Books to find your book, right, Father Basil?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So Tan.
As far as I know.
Yeah. And all that, and it's always great to look at your local Catholic bookstores. And if they don't have it on the shelf, I bet they will order it for you. Mm-hmm. So
and spread the word. You get the book, and others will want and tell them about it. And let's get this this out there to everyone. Father Basil, we're so grateful for you joining us today, and telling us about your book.
Great.
And it's really been a blessing.
Thank you so much, Father.
All right, till we meet in heaven.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. God bless you. That's Father Basil Cole, Tan Books. You can find a copy of that.
Yes, and it's 7:29, and don't go away. We'll be back in a little bit with Alicia interviewing Monsignor Jamie, and there's more to come on Wake Up.
Morning. It's 35 minutes after the hour on this rainy Tuesday, March 28th. I'm Alicia Quibido with Denise Beyer. We're so happy you are tuning your heart to the truth on Catholic Community Radio. We are joined this morning by Monsignor Jamie, and I'm just going to skip. Monsignor Jamie, I have practiced your name, your last name, about 50 times, and I'm just going right over it. Good morning.
Don't worry about it. I'm known as Monsignor Jamie because so many people have that problem. It's Monsignor Jamie Gigantiello, but that's okay. Down south, I'm sure it's a little difficult to...
That's right. That's what I was going to say. I'll send you my...
All those vowels.
Well, I can send you my last name and we can have a who can pronounce whose last name better. So we're so happy you're with us this morning, Monsignor Jamie. You're a priest in the Diocese of Brooklyn. You're also the Vicar for Development in your diocese. You are a chef and a TV host, and now you're an author. We're so happy to have you.
Yes. I wear many hats. Also, yeah. I'm the fire chaplain for the city of New York, so I keep busy.
You do keep busy. Wow. Well, so you have this new cookbook called Breaking Bread with Monsignor Jamie, From Feeding the Stomach to Feeding the Soul. And so, Monsignor Jamie, first let's back up and say, okay, how are you a Monsignor chef?
Well, I was a chef before I became a priest.
Okay.
In my early days of high school, I worked in a caterer, and then I went to the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, the CIA. And after that, I worked in hotels and restaurants, the Carlisle Hotel, the Intercontinental Hotel in New York City. And I worked in the kitchen. I worked in the dining room. I was a manager. So I've had a background in cooking and hotel management. And I also taught for 3 years in high school. I taught cooking and hotel management before I entered the seminary at 30 years old. Oh. You know, I was one of those later vocations. I wasn't ordained until I was 35.
Okay.
And because, you know, I was a very shy person, believe it or not. And it's amazing how the Spirit works through you. And I thought of priesthood and there were family situations and all that kind of put me, you know, to put that on the back burner. You know, caring for my family and leaving home and doing different things. So at 30, being much involved in the hotel business, which is very time consuming, 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, I was always involved in the church. And I was involved in many ways, like the Eucharistic minister, retreats and everything that goes involved with being a priest. And I had very good priest models. And at 30, after many people encouraging me, when are you going to go into the seminary? When are you going to go into the seminary? So it wasn't that I just woke up one morning and said I wanted to be a priest.
Yes.
So I did it at 30, and I was ordained, and I worked in the parish for about 5 years, and then I became a pastor. And about 12 years ago, the diocese were, they were revamping their diocesan cable station. It used to be called the Prayer Channel. Now it's called NET, New Evangelization Television. And they wanted to put on new, some human interest stories. So they asked me, they knew my cooking background, and they asked me if I would, you know, consider doing a show. So I said yes, and that's when I started to cook more, because, you know, my cooking skill kind of went down by the wayside, and in more ways than one. But anyway, I did took on the show, and it just took off, and I love doing it. I visit parish. In the beginning, I visited parishes and talked about the church and the different ethnic communities that existed in the parishes, and we would talk about where they went to eat. I would go to the local restaurants with them and talk to the chef. And then we went into visiting restaurants throughout the city. And I would have guests in my kitchen, and we would cook, and they would cook, and we would cook together, and we would talk. We would talk about life. We would talk about our faith. And a lot of the people I had on really were people of faith that gave back to the community in one way or another. So those were a lot of the guests that I had, restaurant owners. I had Lydia on my show. I had different people, and it just became a very popular show. And then after many years of people asking, we need this recipe, we need that recipe, I said, why don't I put all these recipes into a book? And I put in the book all the recipes and the shows and the guests, but more importantly, how breaking bread with people really brings people together.
Amen.
It helps us to talk about our faith, about life. We get to know one another. And, you know, you look in the scriptures, Jesus was always at table, always at a meal, dining with his friends and family. And that's what's missing in our society today. So I stress that in all of my episodes and in the book, that the most important ingredients in life are food, family, friends, and of course, faith.
Of course,
and that's what breaking bread together does. It's a message that we have to continue to put out there, because that's what's missing in our society today.
You're right. It's so interesting, sitting at the table as a family with our children, how nice the conversation goes, and you really have that conversation that you might not have when you're hustling and bustling through the house, or folding laundry, or doing those other daily chores, kids doing homework. Being at the table as a family, or being at the table with friends, you know, Monsignor Jamie, that is one thing that we do well in the South. We like to eat, and we like to gather with our family. So now we have some new recipes to try. We're visiting with Monsignor Jamie and talking about his new book, Breaking Bread with Monsignor Jamie, From Feeding the Stomach to Feeding the Soul. So tell us about some of the recipes. Are the recipes all yours, Father Jamie, or some from your guests on the show?
No, a lot of them are from guests on the show, but a lot of them are also family recipes and recipes that I have come across over the years. I have a unique way of using different recipes and combining them or eliminating some ingredients that I don't particularly like. So
sounds like a Southern
so
cook.
With cooking, you can do that. You can mix anything together. Mm-hmm. And today, anything goes. I mean, years ago, you would never mix anything sweet with something sour or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it is something that I have a unique way of doing. And what I have done was taken recipes that I have seen and come across, or go to a restaurant, I see something, I see the ingredients, and I go home and I create my own recipe. Wow. Or I'll go to a store and I'll see different salads with different ingredients in them, and I'll say, well, I don't like that one. How about this? I'll add this and combine. How about combining the two things together? So that's really what I do. And of course, there's some family recipes that, you know, you get from your parents and your grandparents and your family members when you were a kid. And, you know, that's another thing that happens when you use these recipes and you're making them. You know, those people, your parents and grandparents who have gone on before us, they come back. They're present. You know, I know at Christmas time, my brother and sister, we get together and we make struffoli. There's an Italian Christmas tradition to make these sweet honey balls. And when we do it, we say, oh, remember when Mama used to do this? And she used to say they're too big, they're too small, and the dough isn't, you know, soft enough. And they come back to us.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, you said before about sitting down at the table with your children. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look what's going on in the world today, mm-hmm. With children going astray and committing all these terrible crimes.
Yes.
You know, if the family sits down, the parents sit down with their children, they see what's going on. They hear what's going on in their children's life. They see, well, you know, something's not right.
Yes.
They get to see that. You know, even sitting down and, you know, the father saying a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that message of faith going to, you know, their children as a witness does something.
Yes.
And that's why breaking bread and sitting down is so important in our world today.
You're right. Monsignor Jamie, I wish we had more time to visit with you, but be sure to check out Monsignor Jamie's book, because it's not just recipes. There's something called Spiritual Bites along with every recipe. And the proceeds of the sale of this book go to help the new evangelization in the Diocese of Brooklyn. Thank you so much for joining us on Wake Up This Morning, Monsignor Jamie. It's been such a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much. It can be found on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
That's right. And Emmaus Press. Thank you. God bless you, Monsignor. Wow, that's great. Monsignor Jamie, Breaking Bread with Monsignor Jamie. Check it out. It's 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up.
Welcome back this morning to Wake Up. I'm Denise Beyer with Alicia Quivido. And we're glad to be with you today on this rainy Tuesday morning. And we have with us right now Father Brian Milady, and he's going to talk to us about a book he wrote entitled The Primer on Fundamental Moral Theology. Good morning, Father. How are you today?
I'm just fine, thank you.
Well, good. I hope the weather's a little better where you are than where we are, because we woke up to what we call down in the South a liquid sunshine, and a lot of it.
Well, I'm in Rockford, Illinois, so we're sort of, actually, we're better than the West Coast, and better than you today.
We'll good. You would probably wake up sometimes to frozen sunshine.
Yeah, that's right.
But
that's
anyway, so Father, I loved reading this little part about your book that said, it's the road to happiness. But I got scared when I said, through the wisdom of St. Thomas Aquinas and Aristotle. What made you write a book at this particular time in our life, in our culture, on moral theology and drawing from these people from way back when, Aristotle, philosopher, and St. Thomas Aquinas? So what drew you to write this book right now? Why?
Well, for one thing, morals is the thing we're most in trouble with.
You're right.
Society. And, well, way back in the 70s, when I was teaching in Catholic high school, I began to realize that one of the problems with our church was that many theologians were changing our moral teachings mm-hmm. to fit mm-hmm. their cultural desires and ideas, probably beginning with contraception. Mm-hmm. And I realized the key to trying to cure this was to have a realistic, systematic explanation of all the things involved in human freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, human freedom hasn't changed since Aristotle.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with using ancient sources if the ancient sources are good,
mm-hmm.
number one, if they're intelligent, number two, and if they're scientific, number three. And by scientific, I don't mean in the sense of the 17th century. I mean in the sense of reason applied to our choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you also mentioned that our moral theology is how our church can change and help form the culture, whereas right now it's vice versa, and the culture is changing us. And not only us, Father, it's changing the church. And so how, as a layperson, do we combat this type of thing that's happening in our culture? Because really sometimes our church, like you said, gives out a confused message on what true morals are and what the Catholic Catechism says what our real theology is. It kind of seems like it's gotten a little muddied in the water, you know? And so for us, what would you say we can do?
Well, first of all, it wasn't really muddied in the catechism.
No, I didn't mean that.
It wasn't also muddied in Splendor of Truth, but unfortunately, ever since, well, really, as I say, birth control in 68, mm-hmm. it's been very muddied by many, many people who taught our ideas, and that's led to people being very uncertain. Now, regarding changing the hierarchy, not much we can do about that, but we can do a lot about not realizing that some of this is due to an in-house dispute among academics that has been raging really since 1967 or 68. Wow. And it went sort of underground for a while with John Paul II and Benedict XVI, but now it's resurfaced big time. And so we need to realize that just because some priest says it or some bishop says it, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that it's true. After all, the Germans have this, you know, are having same-sex marriage blessings now, and most of them are bishops.
Yeah.
So just because a bishop says it doesn't mean it's so.
That is so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so really,
words, not give in to it or ignore it, mm-hmm. yeah.
And to really get ourselves enlightened and educated in what is solid Catholic teaching in our faith. And so you go in and talking about John Paul II and the Catechism and even these older Saint Thomas Aquinas and Aristotle, that we can go back in our history and find what is really truth. You mentioned in that in your book you talk about understanding and forming our passions so that we can really have freedom. And you talked about feet of the soul. I don't know, can you tell us a little bit about that in a short way to kind of...
Yeah, in a short way I think I can. There's been two tendencies, both of them wrong, extremes regarding the passions. One is the traditional one where you just don't exist, they exist practically, and they're evil in themselves, which Catholicism has never taught. And then secondly is more modern. This is kind of the more contemporary issue. If it feels good, just do it. And that's identify with your conscience, too. Well, neither one is correct. Both are extremes. Our passions are born to be obedient to reason, not suppressed by reason, not killed by reason, but obedient to reason. And this is reflected even in people like C.S. Lewis in the 40s in the book The Screwtape Letters, which was a fanciful
classic.
Correspondence of a senior tempter in hell to a junior tempter on earth. And they were actually radio programs on the BBC during World War II that he read.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a lot of things for us to really look into in this book. And I'm going to encourage all of our readers to get it. We all need to start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I like that, a primer on the fundamental moral theology, that we get back to what our really roots are and we know what our roots are. So can you tell us where to get your book, Father? And then before we close, I want you to give us a closing prayer, if you don't mind. Where can we
Okay. You can get it from EWTN or you can get it on Amazon.
Uh-huh.
And there's an older version, but this was republished and I added some things to it.
Oh, okay.
So that's why you might find two titles up there.
Okay, so we'll look for the new and revised one.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father Milady.
Okay. Dearest Lord, help us to understand what our freedom calls us to, which is nothing else than heaven, in which we will see you face to face as our ultimate happiness. Mm-hmm. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. 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 Thank you. We've been speaking with Father Brian Milady about his book, A Primer on Fundamental Moral Theology, and you can order it on Amazon. And Father, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
We look forward to having you again. God bless.
You can hear Father Brian Malady every Thursday on Open Line Thursday. It's EWTN's Open Line Thursday. You can hear it right here on Catholic Community Radio. That plays at 2 p.m. You can even call in and ask Father Brian a question. So, again, that's 2 p.m. on Catholic Community Radio. Father Brian Malady on Thursday's Open Line. And that was his book, A Primer on Fundamental Moral Theology. And you can find that also on EWTN's their religious catalog to find his book. So, Denise, it was so great having you with us this morning. We will be joined, or I will be joined tomorrow, by Dina Dow from the Diocese of Baton Rouge, as well as our good friend Johnny Hebert Strait from Bush, Louisiana. Johnny will share his gospel reflection on tomorrow's gospel. We'll also be joined by our friend Peter Finney. He'll tell us what we can find in the issue of the Archdiocese of New Orleans newest edition of the Clarion Herald. Hey, we have a new show on Catholic Community Radio. It's called Cross Training. The host of that show, David Anderson, will join us tomorrow to talk about the show and what he's been up to. We'll also get an update on Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans when Sister Marjorie Avrayer joins us. So be sure and tune in tomorrow morning. Tune your heart to the truth. It is 3 minutes before the hour on Wake Up. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.